It's New Year's Eve, 1999. You're listening to the BB Sky Carlton, where it's time to look back at the 90s. This week, 1994, the year the world's worst nightmare came true. Yes, the loudest ever car alarm went on sale. It was also the year that Sir Ranulph Fiennes became the first man to visit the Earth's one remaining wilderness. He took his family to Euro Disney. But 1994 began with a major political controversy.
Good evening, I'm Moira Stewart. The government's review of the water industry has concluded that all 31 remaining reservoirs should close.
It's no use being nostalgic about it. Producing water is simply no longer economic. We really have to find alternative sources of wetness.
But Tory backbenchers are vigorously opposing the reservoir closures.
We demand that the government holds a brief inquiry, fobs us off, and then shuts them anyway in 12 months' time.
And the news has provoked angry riots all over the country.
What do we want?
Water!
Quick, Sarge, they're getting nasty. Turn the high pressure hoses on.
Meanwhile, there are fears that the elimination of Britain's water industry could have a knock-on effect on other businesses. We invited the head of the Plumbers Association to put his case, but he didn't turn up. And we waited in all day for him. Joining me now is Michael Heseltine himself. Mr. Heseltine, is it true that the government has been forced to spend millions of pounds importing bottles of Aqua Libra?
No, the government has been forced to spend millions of pounds importing one bottle of Aqua Libra.
That's all from us. I'm off home to relax in a nice empty bath. Good night.
In January, there was an urgent consumer alert. Shops recalled the Pricebuster Carvac 2000, warning that under extreme circumstances, it might work. Meanwhile, the shops were packed with people taking back other faulty Christmas presents.
Excuse me, I got this new stereo recently, and I think there's something wrong with it. It keeps making this terrible noise.
Right, well, let's have a listen.
Lady in red.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Oh, there's your problem, you see. You're using the wrong type of CD. Oh. You want a good one.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, see, what's happening is the notes, right, are coming out of Christy Berg's mouth, going through the amplifier, coming out of the two channels here, and what we call sounding dreadful. Oh, listen.
Lady
Well, is there anything I can do about it?
Well, maybe. Have you still got the box it came in?
Yes, I have.
Oh, well, take that round to Christenberg's house and stick it over his head.
In February, new Irish peace talks got underway after a major stumbling block was removed. Ian Paisley got laryngitis. Meanwhile, the actor who played the voice of Gerry Adams on the news retired. Auditions were held to find a replacement.
And Gerry Adams' voiceover, take one.
We in Sinn Féin answer to the nationalist community, not John Major. Oh, dear, dear Johnny.
Next. I have been talking to the British bloody government. Not a lot of people know that. Next.
Oh, why can't we just get round the pine table and have some goat's milk? Tom, Margot, Jerry. Oh, sorry, I'm playing Jerry, aren't I? Sorry.
Next.
Hey, if you think the Irish problem is difficult, you know, you should try negotiating with Mia Farrow.
Next. No,
lovey, not John Major's lines.
Look back at the 90s.
You are an internationally respected star, yet you stand accused of seeking out the company of 12-year-old boys, enticing them to spend a night with you in your own bedroom, and encouraging them to put on pajamas and share midnight feasts. Have you anything to say in your defense?
Yeah. I'm Macaulay Culkin.
The trial of Home Alone star Macaulay Culkin. Soon after, there was a second trial, which was exactly the same, only this time set in New York. Meanwhile, the heavy iron gates slammed shut behind Michael Jackson as he faced the rest of his natural life in solitary confinement. Yes, he'd been acquitted and sent home. 1994 marked the third anniversary of the student loan scheme. It was time for the first students to give back what they'd borrowed from the state. Two traffic cones and a road sign. Meanwhile, Kenneth Clark unveiled a new financial scheme.
Mr. Clark, this announcement has worried many ordinary people.
Look, we're simply saying that from now on, people of working age will have to provide their own wages.
Isn't that a bit unfair?
No, it's all very well expecting a fat pay packet at the end of the week, but why should the employer foot the bill? So we believe the responsibility should lie with the individual.
But supposing they're too poor?
Well, they can always apply for income support.
To the government?
No, to themselves.
In April, top actors, producers, writers and directors from the British film industry gathered in London for a unique occasion. They were making a film. Meanwhile, more and more blockbuster movies were being shown on commercial television. Eventually.
Coming up next on ITV, the big movie. But first, some more of those irritating bits between programs.
Irritating bits are brought to you in association with Pepsi.
This unnecessary link is sponsored by Eagle and General.
And now the local irritating bit to irritate you in your own region.
You're watching the station you're watching, obviously.
Irritating bits are still being brought to you by Pepsi
and Ford.
Well, we don't seem to have time for the big movie now, so it's good night.
1994.
In June, there was a sensation when Prince Edward announced that he was going to be a father. His brother then took him aside and explained that just rubbing belly buttons was not enough. Meanwhile, there were clear signs that Diana was looking for a new romance.
Welcome to Blind Date. Let's meet Diana. I want you to give her a big hand. Come on. She's a lovely, bright girl. She's a bright girl from Kensington. All right. Hiya, Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Lulu. Yeah.
All right, Chuck. We've got three lovely fellas for you. Are you going to ask your questions?
Yeah, right. Okay. Number one. I'm an ex-princess. How would you show me a right royal night out?
Hi, Diana. Well, first of all, I'd treat you to a slap-up meal.
Right, that's enough, yeah. Number two, I'm a glamorous gal. But what would you think if you saw me first thing in the morning in an old nightie with no makeup on?
I think I was reading the Daily Mirror.
Yeah, thanks. Number, what comes next? What's after two?
Three, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, number three, Chuck. What about you?
I think there's been a bit of a double booking, I see.
In July, Terry Venables was seen handing over large bundles of cash to a mystery figure in a motorway service station. It later emerged that he was paying for the all-day breakfast. Meanwhile, in America, the World Cup was underway, and the hosts were determined to show that they could take on the best and win.
Okay, guys, the Dutch will be using a 4-4-2 formation. Don't give them any space. Keep possession. Kowalski, I want you to play a free role in midfield. Push up, but watch the offside trap. And I want to see every man goal side in a dead ball situation. Any questions?
So, we kick the ball, right?
Yes, it's football. You kick it with your foot.
Oh, all right. So, when do we use the bat?
There are no bats. Now just get out there and do your best. Guys, only 11 of you.
To everyone's surprise, the American team went on to a 7-0 victory against the Dutch, who were led by their new manager, Graham Taylor. With England out of the World Cup, football hooligans at home turned their attention to other sports.
Well, what a sad day for fishing it's been today. Let's settle down now. Let's go straight over to John Motson, who's down at Bolter's Lock.
You're not swimming anymore. You're not swimming anymore.
Well, as you can hear, Jez, a small minority of so-called fishing fans have spoilt what was otherwise an enthralling afternoon's fishing. Crowd trouble broke out after a shoal of bream refused to come out of the weeds. And the fans' frustration soon boiled over. And, oh dear, well, as I speak, they are now invading, would you believe, the pitch.
You're going home in a Tupperware sandwich box.
Well, sickening scenes there, obviously. Jimmy Hill?
Well, Des, it's this sort of element that is giving fishing a bad name.
Well, wise words there, Jimmy. But, hey, fishing fans, if you're fed up with all this violence and you just fancy a nice quiet afternoon with nothing much happening, don't forget Arsenal playing at home today.
That August saw a near sensation in the Epsom by-election, but after two tense recounts, jubilant Conservatives celebrated. They had snatched fourth place from the monster-raving Looney Party. With the government's majority now down to one, backbenchers became even more powerful.
Hello, Prime Minister.
Oh, hello, Henry. Any chance of having my office back yet?
No. And it's Sir Henry.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
Oh, yes. Ha, ha, ha. Sir Henry Piers Bufton, OBE, DSO, and a joint user of my home base spend and save card. Cigar?
No, thank you.
How's the wife?
She's fine. You can have her back next week.
No hurry. You know, you just... You know, look, by the way, do you think you might just possibly be voting with us on the budget tomorrow?
Well, I must say, I'm not happy with this £54 million mortgage relief subsidy.
Well, we can't give you any more. Look, isn't there something else I can do for you, eh?
Well, what about publicly humiliating yourself for my own personal amusement?
Look, you may have some power over me, but I'm a man with pride and self-esteem. I still have my dignity, you know.
John Major, the day before he went bungee jumping off Big Ben, in a chicken costume, singing, "Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie." That autumn, with government debt increasing, Chancellor Kenneth Clark made the shortest ever budget speech.
Spare some change, please. Spare some change.
But in spite of the economic situation, young couples were still prepared to enter the complex world of mortgages.
Well, if you'd just like to sign the mortgage form, then you'll be ready to move into your new home.
Oh,
afraid. Mm. Just one thing. What's this extra £78 a month for?
Oh, that's just a standard payment. It covers the endowment policy, the insurance, and, of course, the yacht.
The yacht?
Yes, this is a yacht mortgage, and we do recommend them for first-time buyers such as yourselves. For a small extra monthly outlay, you not only get your house, but a yacht. So if you could just sign here and...
No, but we don't want a yacht.
No, we don't. Yeah. If I may say so, that's a very short-term view. I mean, if anything happened to you or your husband, yeah. you lost your job or yeah. fell ill, yeah. then, well, you wouldn't have a yacht.
Yeah. But we don't want a yacht.
We just want an ordinary mortgage. Yeah.
Right, I see. Just the straightforward, no nonsense, no frills, trawler mortgage.
No! No extras at all.
Right. Have it your way. Yeah. Just sign this form here. And if you could let me have a cheque for £500.
What's that for?
Oh, that's just the standard not having a yacht fee.
In October, psychiatrists claimed to have found a cure for hypochondria, but sufferers said they were worried about the side effects. That month also saw a dire warning of an impending ecological disaster.
I'm here in Croxley Wood with Felicity Morgan, who represents Nature Alert. Felicity, why have you brought me here?
Well, Peter, I wanted you to see for yourself.
See what?
Look around you. The trees are dying. See what they've done to the leaves? They're all dry and brown.
Well, it's autumn.
Oh, not you as well. Open your eyes, Peter. The nights are getting shorter. The temperature's dropping by the day. Can't you see what's happening?
Yes, winter's coming.
I'm warning you, unless we act now, by January the puddles will be frozen over and we'll all be walking around in coats and mittens.
Felicity, it happens every year. The seasons change.
Seasons?
Felicity Morgan, better known, of course, as GMTV's weather girl. In November, Virginia Bottomley made a speech calling for divorce to be made easier. Peter Bottomley replied, "Oh, you would say that. My mother was right. Well, you're not getting the house." As the year's end approached, there were fears that the festive season was losing its true meaning. But traditionalists hit back by releasing their own pop record.
Born so many years ago, to us it seemed as if he was sent to bring us joy, the one that we call Cliff. Although he is forgotten almost all the year, it's time to bring his single out. Yes, Cliffmas time is here. Happy Cliffmas, praise the virgin sun. Happy Cliffmas, he still looks 21. Happy Cliffmas, remember what it means. Praise to Cliff, to the one who irons his jeans.
I came out of the shadows, in sinful times I shone. All through the swinging 60s, I kept my trousers on.
Don't worship Mr. Blobby, to praise take that is wrong. Cliffmas isn't Cliffmas without a Nat Cliff Richard song.
Happy Cliffmas,
he's my mum's favourite star.
Slob Subaka, but I never touched her bra. Happy Cliffmas,
hope is in our hearts, cause there'll be a second coming. Yes, Cliff back in the charts.
Happy Cliffmas, happy Cliffmas, happy Cliffmas. Break out the ginger beer. Happy Cliffmas, happy Cliffmas, happy Cliffmas.
Cliffmas time is here.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
But the most shocking event of the year was this dramatic kidnapping. It's early December on a lonely country road near Chequers. The Prime Minister is returning from a conference when a white van rams into the side of his Daimler, forcing it off the road. Seven armed Middle Eastern terrorists leap out, but John Major instantly knows the correct procedure.
Oh, quite a bang. I think we'd better exchange names and addresses.
Stop up and get in the van. You have been kidnapped by the sons of jihad.
You will not be harmed as long as you don't do anything stupid.
But I'm the Prime Minister. I've got to run the country.
I said don't do anything stupid.
Blindfolded, John Major was driven through the night and soon found himself bundled onto a broken chair where he was fed half-cooked scraps and stale bread. Then they left the little chef. And continued on to their secret hideout. But unknown to the kidnappers, John Major had managed to make a furtive phone call.
Norma. Norma, it's me. John, listen. Listen very carefully. I want you to video Lovejoy. From BBC One at 7th. Hello?
As the days passed in the lonely cellar where he'd been locked, the Prime Minister kept himself sane by putting socks over his ears and making a noise like a duck. But he knew that his loyal cabinet colleagues would be leaving no stone unturned in their search for him.
Yes, yes, okay. Right, so we come now to item 7, the trade and industry stationery bill.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I'm afraid to report that the Prime Minister has been taken hostage.
What? Oh, dear me.
The kidnappers have sent us this tape.
Ooh, put it on.
Yeah. All I'm saying, Nadim, is that if you hold the microphone further away, you get less distortion.
Look, just read the ransom demands.
You see, when you shout like that, the little needle goes right over into the red bin.
Right, that's it. You pushed me too far.
Nadim, are you all right?
A shocked cabinet decided to keep the news of the Prime Minister's kidnap a secret, hoping that somehow the country could muddle on without him.
Good evening. Economists are still baffled by the sudden dramatic upturn in the British economy. Strangely, the Prime Minister was unavailable for comment again. Meanwhile, unemployment has unexpectedly fallen for the third time in a week. Elsewhere, England are thrashing the West Indies in the second test, and the weather continues to be sunny.
Oh, if only I was there to help! 4 weeks and still no one's paid the ransom.
Just shut up!
Bad news, Ahmed. The British government have rejected our figure of £1 million.
Well, offer them some more!
Oh. Get down, Prime Minister!
Well done. I knew I'd be rescued. Who are you under those masks? The SAS?
The Labour Party, actually, yes, sir. My God, we've missed you.
Thus it was that John Major was restored to his rightful position, 25% behind in the polls. So, 1994 came to an end, a year that was marred by cash crises, financial mismanagement, overspending, and bankruptcy. And that's why I'm having to work on New Year's Eve. Good night.
A Look Back at the 90s was presented by Brian Perkins. It starred Kate Robbins and Alistair McGowan with the writers Mark Burton, John O'Farrell and Pete Sinclair. The producer was Caroline Leddy.